Hello, Stavanger Church. Pastor Giovanni here. Today is July 5th, 2020. It is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. We were together today for our drive-in service at Stavanger, but we ran into some technical difficulties with recording. So I'm here to still get you the sermon. So if you're tuning in, I trust that you'll be encouraged by this word. And it comes from a very special gospel text, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. So why don't we get right into it with the reading, beginning at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The word of the Lord. So there is so much jam-packed into there. Doctrine, truths, and promises from Jesus, an invitation from Jesus. So I'm just going to focus in on that invitation, Christ calling out, "Come to me." So the Lord Jesus Christ calls out to who? Well, here the Bible's talking right to you. The Lord Jesus Christ calls to you. And what a special thing to consider the call of the Lord on your life. Have you ever took time to consider, how is the Lord calling? How is the Lord calling me? Well, in today's passage, we have it plainly stated. Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," and he promises, "I will give you rest." He says, "You will find rest for your souls." So, how many people need rest today? Rest for your soul. Rest. Rest is foundational to the Christian life. Because it's not from striving, not from a place of from working, but it's from a place of rest that we live. I'm not going to overcomplicate this. I just want to say, Jesus Christ calls you to himself and he promises you rest. Now that rest, it's not about taking a day off. It's not about scheduling in some time for rest because it's good for you. Well, it's not even about, scheduling in some devotional time with the Lord. This is a rest, a promised rest, a rest that's much deeper than a recovery day. It's rest for a weary mind that is troubled, rest for a conscience that is tormented, a rest for a heart that is racked with guilt, rest from nerves that are shaken with fear, rest for a back that's bearing a too heavy burden, rest for those who are tired and weary, rest for those who've, you just had about enough. Every one of us has a burden to bear at some point in this life, and life isn't always easy. We live in a fallen world, but we have peace in the midst of trouble because we know him, because he calls to us, because he invites us. Jesus Christ invites us to himself. But let's consider a life apart from God to contrast. Well, in a life apart from God, there's ultimately no meaning. There's no value. There's no ultimate purpose to it. So at the foundation, there is no real rest. There's chaos. There's meaninglessness. There's turmoil. There's no lasting satisfaction in a life without God. So try as you may to find life apart from God, you ultimately lose your life. If you try to find your life, you will lose your life. But you're listening to this message, you're tuning in. Yeah, we had church already, and I'm recording another sermon so you can hear, and you're tuning in because God's calling you, because God has a calling on your life. So you need to hear the Lord's calling, and you need to respond to his calling. He's calling you to himself. Our Lord is calling you to himself, and there's nothing or no one between you and the Lord. There's no one you have to go through. There's no hoops you have to jump over. There's no approval lists. There's no recommendations you need. Jesus Christ calls you directly to himself. Okay? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that you don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn his approval. You don't have to work to please him. You don't have to justify yourself in his presence, and you shouldn't. Often we hear, you know, I messed up, but deep down I'm a good person. You should get to know me because I'm a good person. Doesn't matter that I made mistakes. Well, drop the storyline. You don't need it. We're sinners. Jesus Christ loved you. While you're yet sinners, he died for you. So this gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is God coming to you, even though we don't deserve it, because he loves you, he's reaching out to you, and he's inviting you into his presence. Do you know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ? In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. So if you believed on his name, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, your sins are forgiven. And you believe that? Then you have lasting rest. You have a foundational rest. You have rest for your soul. So though in this life you will have trouble, take hope in the Lord. Because in him we have rest. In him we have victory. We eat the Lord's Supper. We come to the Lord's table. Why? Because he calls us to his table. He invites us to his table. He gives you a cup. He gives you the bread. He gives you his own flesh. He gives you his own blood. We're good with God. That means we're good with God. He invites you to himself. He invites you to his table. He gives you his real presence. We're good. Why? Because of him. Not because we're wise and we figured something out. Not because we worked out some esoteric kind of deep spiritual insight. We figured it out and had an aha moment. There's spiritual depth in the Christian life. But that entrance is because of Jesus' free invitation. We're good with God because he called us. He bore the burden of our sin. So the Bible says, cease striving. That's a hard word. Cease striving. Cease striving and know that I am God. You don't have to earn your place at the table. You don't have to work for your spot in the kingdom. You don't need to earn the blessing. The rest we have in Jesus is not a result of striving, but a result of God's promise. So Jesus' invitation, come to me, say, yes, Lord, you are my rest, Lord. You are my rest, O Lord, in you I rest. So we need to hear this with faith. And we need to be open to the possibilities of the gospel. Be open to receive what God is giving. And that means hearing, but hearing as a little child would hear, as a little child who doesn't come with all this wisdom and learning and accomplishments and a resume, but with open hands, ready to receive free gifts, with dependence and excitement, and trust and faith, willing to believe what your Father tells you. Little children, believe the message of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, our souls find rest. Rest, okay. So let me try to unpack that for you, if I can. Going through the Bible, from beginning to end, starting in Genesis, we see by the seventh day, in the creation week, by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work he had been doing. So we see from the creation account in Genesis, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, created all things visible and invisible. But on the seventh day, he rested. So after God's acts of creation, there's a sacred time of rest, of peace, of refreshing, of completion, of fullness. God's rest is said to be the crown atop the week of creation. So you have the 6 days we created everything you see and experience, but that rest sits atop of it as the seventh day. Reading further in the Bible, we know that the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, there's a command to rest. In Exodus chapter 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we have holy rest, sacred rest. And it's all-encompassing. It's not just for you. It's for your children. It's for your neighbors. It's for your pets. Well, we see this throughout the Old Testament. The prophets speak of rest. And then the psalmist in the Psalms, the psalmist longs for rest. I had a good example I wanted to share. In Psalm chapter 55, verse 4 through 6, the psalmist presents the troubles of this life and then longs for rest. So we see trouble on the one hand, and then we see rest on the other hand. And experiencing the trouble, he's looking towards rest. So if I may, I'll read Psalm 55, verse 4 through 6. It says, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." So it's a powerful example of what rest can do for the weary and burdened, and how we long for true rest amidst life's chaos and troubles. You know, living in this fallen world, life requires rest. Rest is sacred to God, as we've seen, and it's important to us. We know that the law of Moses commands rest. The psalmist we just read, the psalmist, he longs for rest. But brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, today we have rest for the weary. In the Lord, there is rest for the weary. And I'm not talking about ritual Sabbath observance. I'm saying that you're under the law of Moses. See, in Jesus' day, under the law of Moses, even the Sabbath day, the day of rest, had become a burden because it was law. And it was treated as something to attain righteousness by keeping. So, if we read a little further on from today's passage in Matthew 11, we go to Matthew 12, the very next verse after our reading. Matthew 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.'" Aha, gotcha. Well, they're accusing Jesus and his disciples of breaking the law. This is no small thing. They say, "You're breaking the law." They were teachers of the law, the Pharisees. Yet they were misusing the law. They were trying to attain righteousness by means of the law as if it were by works, laying heavy burdens on people. They're picking heads of grain, eating grain from the field on the Sabbath, just eating because they're hungry. "Oh, you're breaking the law. You're working. You can't harvest on the Sabbath. That's work." So they take a law that says rest. The teachers of law interpret this as you can't do anything, especially Jesus. You can't heal. You can't feed your disciples. The teachers of law laid heavy burdens on people. These religious leaders often keep people from God by increasing the requirements. So when God has a blessing of rest, they take and make a burden because they're misusing the law. For example, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, say you couldn't go on long walks on the Sabbath because going on a long walk, going on miles of walk, you're going to start sweating. That's considered work. Can't do it. What else? Well, you can't lift a heavy weights. You can't carry a load on the Sabbath because if you're lifting, that is work, and you can't do it on the Sabbath. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire because in the ancient Near East, starting a fire by hand required work, and you know, that's work. You can't do it. So the list goes on and on of these interpretations of law of rest saying what you can't do. Because they take God's law as a divine imperative, yet they build all these workarounds, thinking that they're keeping the law by making all these adjustments. So even today we see this. People who try to live by the law in earnest with zeal for God, taking the law seriously, but without knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they try to attain righteousness by keeping the law, and it becomes a great burden. So they say, same things, you can't go on long walks, you can't carry a load, you can't create a fire. And there's a good example. If you've ever been to a hospital with a Sabbath elevator, or perhaps a big building might have a Sabbath elevator, it's an elevator that you don't have to push any buttons. It just stops at every floor, doors open, doors close, every floor, next floor, doors open, doors close. No buttons, it's automatic. Why? Sabbath elevator, because according to the teachers of the law, pushing that button is considered work. You can't do it on the Sabbath. So that special elevator stopping at every floor, it's a workaround. You still get to do what you got to do, but you're not technically working. Well, the teachers of the law sure figured it out, haven't they? Well, not really. They're pouring through the letter of the law, but they're missing the spirit of the law. And you know what? it doesn't really sound like rest, does it? It sounds like a burden. It sounds like extra things that you have to keep. Oh, now we got to deal with this. Well, these guidelines, these instructions concerning the law, well, they were made by scholars. Scholars, legal scholars. Scholars who have devoted their lives to studying the law. They spent lifetime combing through commentaries on the law. They spend their time debating matters of the law with other scholars. They're wise. They're very learned in matters of the law. Yet, they're missing something very important, or someone very important. The author of the law, the one who gave the law to Moses, someone greater than Moses who has come, the one that Moses testified of has come. And they're missing him, Jesus. See, they're zealous for God, but without knowledge of God. So they have to wrestle with this law and try to work it out instead of attaining righteousness by faith in Jesus. And then we have the law, which we don't do away with, but now we take that law and we can use it as a mirror. Shows me who I really am. A sinner. Okay? I'm a sinner. And I need a savior. Check. We got it. Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, the very one who gives us rest. The religious teachers of Jesus' day, these things were hidden from them. You see, at this time, Jesus had previously just sent out his disciples on mission to go through all the towns and villages of Israel to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And what Jesus sees is that not everyone is subscribing to his mission. Not everyone is believing the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Who is believing? Not the wise and learned, but little children. Those who are like little children. Jesus called his disciples little children. He often called them like babies, infants, little ones. You're children, children of God. And it's to those who the Father reveals the hidden things. So I want to tell you today. Today, when you hear his voice, that invitation of the Lord, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Hear and respond to Jesus' invitation. Consider the call of the Lord on your life. The Lord Jesus Christ calling to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hear this word. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you're better to come to Christ. You don't get better and then come to Christ. You come to Christ first and then you get better. You don't have to go experience life apart from God and then come to God. No. God offers you a life of spiritual rest, the Christian life, an abundant life, that's life in the full measure, from a place of rest, not striving. If you've fallen short, you can rest in knowing that Christ forgives you of your sins. Jesus Christ calls you to himself. God's rest is not found in the law of Moses. God's rest is found in the person of Jesus Christ. From here, we come to Jesus, and then we take Jesus' yoke, and we learn from him, we're discipled, we walk in the good works which God prepared beforehand. So I need to tell you once again that resting in the Lord is rest that cancels worry, rest that frees you from burdens, rest for you because you know God's peace. It's rest for you because you live in the forgiveness of sins as one who is beloved by the Father. It's rest because you know him, and it's rest that goes with you. Because as the Lord says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Today, know that Jesus Christ, upon the finished work of the cross, the work that was yours to bear, Jesus Christ bore it, and now he gladly calls you to rest. His rest is yours. Be refreshed, be at peace, enjoy the sacrament, the bread and the cup, because they sustain you unto eternal life. Jesus Christ is our rest. God bless you. Amen.